You're listening to Red Eye on Co-op Radio at CFRO 102.7 FM.
Last summer, a group called the Palestine Media Collective produced a parody of the Vancouver Sun. The one-page tabloid sheet used the Vancouver Sun's name and typeface, but there were plenty of clues that it wasn't the usual local paper. The banner at the top of the front page dated the issue as Occupation Day, June 2007. In place of the usually seriously West Coast since 1912 was seriously Zionist since 2001, the first full year of CanWest ownership. The lead article was titled Celebrating 40 Years of Civilizing the West Bank and was written by Pirupaganda. 6 months later, Mordecai Breenberg, a well-known activist for the rights of Palestinians, was charged with producing the parody and committing a commercial violation of trademark. Last week, the Georgia Strait published an article by Gordon Murray and Carol Masevich taking full responsibility for the production of this parody. Brian Campbell is with the Seriously Free Speech Committee set up to defend Mordecai and the right to produce political parody, and he joins me in the studio this morning to talk about this most recent development and to bring us up to date on what's happening with the case. Hello, Brian.
Good morning. Hi.
Now, the article by Gordon Murray and Carol Masevich states that they've also now been named in the writ. Is this why they came forward and took responsibility?
No, in fact, they came forward on June 9th to the committee and said they were going to come forward publicly because of the list of questions that CanWest had produced for Mordecai to answer, and most of those questions involved naming people. And so they didn't want Mordecai put in the position of refusing to name names and being sent to jail or being fined, which is what would have happened, because Mordecai had publicly stated he wouldn't name any names. So they came forward in response to a kind of a McCarthyite tactic of the CanWest lawyers.
So I guess once he had refused to name names, then there would be an injunction, would there, or a court order, and then he would
CanWest would conceivably go to the federal court to get an order for Mordecai to answer the questions.
And then he would be in contempt of court.
Or the court might say, you only have to answer certain questions, but yes. And then he would be in contempt of court if he didn't answer.
How did they find out that CanWest had added their names to the writ?
Well, since the writ had been issued to Mordecai already, and it was going to be a change of the writ of summons, Mordecai's lawyer was notified. And we then let them know that this was the case. I let them know that this was the case. And the only change that's been made to the writ has been to add Carol and Gordon's name. Everything else is left the same. So, in fact, they didn't go to the court to get their name added until July 9th.
CanWest didn't.
And they didn't receive the writ until July 22nd, just last week.
And the original writ had three Janes and three John Does, and they've taken a couple of those out?
They've just taken one Jane and John off, and then now it's two Janes and two Johns.
Okay.
Yeah.
And have they been served a writ?
Yes, they were served the writ last week on July 22nd.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what will this mean for the suit against Mordecai, that they've now taken responsibility?
Well, first of all, they had no evidence that Mordecai did anything, and now they have people claiming that they produced it and they're solely responsible. So with any kind of conception of justice, CanWest would drop the writ from against Mordecai. But since this is really not a trademark issue but a political vendetta, we'll have to see, but it's doubtful that CanWest will drop the writ. So what that leaves with the committee is to move forward, continuing to defend Mordecai and also defending Carol and Gordon because of their right to produce political parody.
Now, as you said, you've been saying from the outset that it's a politically motivated attack on critics of Israel rather than the concern about trademark violation. What effect does this admission by Carol and Gordon have on that view?
Well, it sharpens it. It sharpens it to the extent that if the writ against Mordecai isn't dropped, then it's really clear that it's a political vendetta. And the writ against Gordon and Carol is primarily because the parody was against the Ken West position on Israel. So it always comes back to that question of Ken West's commitment to defend Israel and their commitment to biased journalism regarding the Middle East.
To what extent have you been able to get that message, very, very important message, out into the media that this is an attack on critics of Israel and it's attack, in a sense, on free speech?
Well, this is one of the very interesting things about this case. Ken West has a history of litigation against anybody and everybody that they disagree with, partnerships crumbling, people that have made mistakes like Rafe Mayer in Taiyi, or people that they oppose politically. And so they have really cast a chill in the Canadian media environment. So the long and short of it is, with the exception of Co-op Radio and the Georgia Strait, there's been almost no coverage, a couple of short articles in the business page in the Globe and Mail, and one radio program on Bill Good on CKNW, and various other alternate media have given it coverage, like Working TV. But none of the major media in Canada, the Globe and Mail, the Toronto Star, and most shocking of all, CBC, has not covered this one second. The question is, what are they worried about? Why are they scared? Why aren't they giving this very important political question coverage?
Have you been able to get coverage outside of Canada in the U.S.?
There have been announcements on various alternate media sites like ZNet, but no, not really in terms of things like Democracy Now! We haven't gotten coverage, and I think primarily because they don't realize the importance of this issue for the debates they're having in the United States around concentration of media.
It's a huge issue in the United States.
It's a huge issue in the United States, and what we are, Vancouver is the lab for the concentration of media. Here we have the most concentrated media in North America, and CanWest isn't just content with controlling the media. They are opposing people that have alternative political perspectives from which they present. So the case that they brought against Mordecai and Carol and Gordon is because they really oppose their position in opposition to the Israel occupation of Palestine. So yes, this should be a warning and a litmus test for all those people in the United States.
So in a sense, it's not just about media concentration, but it's about the desire to control the message beyond even what your newspaper is prepared to print and not print.
That's right. That's the thing that's very unique about this case, is going beyond the media control, the media you own, to try and control the message overall. They're already framing the debate in Canada, and there have been some research studies that have shown how biased the coverage is by CanWest. But they're not content with that. They're going beyond their own media.
What's the next step in the court case?
Well, we'll have an examination for discovery in September of CanWest. We'll see what comes out of that. CanWest hasn't continued the examination of discovery, which began in June. So again, with lawyers being away for the summer, both our lawyer and now their lawyer in August, the case is more or less in abeyance, but it will reactivate itself with an examination for discovery in September.
And let's just go back to the examination of discovery for in Mordecai's case, because some of the questions there were really quite astounding, and I think you brought some of them in. What were some of the questions that they were asking Mordecai to respond to?
Well, what's shocking about the questions that were being asked is they weren't really around the trademark violation, nor was the writ. The questions were really casting the net among progressives and leftists and supporters of Palestine in Vancouver. So questions were, I want all the documentation relating to the Seriously Free Speech Committee, any minutes, meeting, communications, agendas, attendance, as well as members' lists, their addresses, and contact numbers. Now, the Seriously Free Speech Committee didn't even exist when the parody was produced. We didn't formulate ourselves until the spring of this year. Another question was, provide me with contact information, address, phone numbers, email, or otherwise for the individuals I listed this morning, and CanPelNet, Stop War, ISM, produce any documentation and correspondence around the program that CanPelNet did at VPL last June.
So this
and
is asking...
on and on and on for people that have been involved in things with no evidence at all that they had participated in this parody.
So this is just generally people like the International Solidarity Movement, all those people who are involved in that, they want to know their names.
That's right. That's right. So it really looks like what they're doing is they want to get information for who knows what reason on everybody in Vancouver that's involved in support of Palestine and in opposition to the Israeli occupation. This goes well beyond any trademark court case, and it kind of smacks not just of intimidation, but of spying on the left.
You'd think it would raise red flags in the United States, which suffered so heavily under McCarthyism. So not only the media ownership issue, but also the naming names and the witch hunt.
That's right. And we're beginning to see examples in the United States of major media going after alternate media when they counter them, when they present alternative things on their websites and on their radio programs. So this, what we're seeing in Vancouver with CanWest, looks like it's a trend that's beginning, and it's in the United States now as well.
What's the next step for the committee now?
Well, we're going to continue trying to get media coverage of this issue, but we're also going to start meeting with individuals and organizations. And we would ask your listeners, any that are interested in having a small meeting in their house to meet with Mordecai or Gordon or Carol or other members of the committee, we would encourage them to do that. We need to get the word out more broadly, since we can't count on the media, the corporate media. We're going to have to go out through community organizations, individuals, unions, student societies, that kind of thing. So that's how we'll be spending our time.
And they can contact you through the website.
And they can contact us through the website.
Thank you very much, Brian.
And the website is www.seriouslyfreespeech.ca.
Yes, I didn't say it because I was going to say it in a moment, but now we will say it twice, which
okay.
is better.
Thank you very much.
I've been speaking with Brian Campbell. He's co-chair of the Seriously Free Speech Committee, and as he said, you can go to their website, seriouslyfreespeech.com.